Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. It is a Friday, Black Friday. I'm just going to admit it. We're taping this early because I'm probably out shopping somewhere, buying Doug an expensive Christmas present that he deserves. He's such a nice guy.
Yep,
but it's been a it's been a couple of weeks. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Outreach Biologist. How have you been?
I've been good. I missed you. You were sending me brag pictures on
the
trip, and then you know, the other thing is, like, I listened to you, and I know we're taping this, but you sound much better. Like, you didn't sound terrible, but I could tell when you said you weren't feeling well earlier on this week. Like, you weren't feeling well, so I'm glad, especially going into, you know, towards the holidays, into the weekend, like, get that stuff out of the way, right?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. A few weeks earlier, Ben had taken like a week off, his first week off in forever, and he got the flu bug, and so I'm not sure what it is, but the last few days of my vacation, I came in, I'm like, I'm not feeling well. So then I started talking to people over the weekend.
So, you know, sometimes people in the radio world, with your voice and stuff, you've got like tips and tricks and stuff that you use to get yourself sounding better and feeling better. Do you have like your go-to when you're, whether it's a congestion thing or what do you do?
Yeah, there's a number one thing, and it's actually something that I grew up with a little bit. It's not going to get my parents to the ear, but it's blackberry brandy, to be honest with you. I remember when I was smaller, I had bronchitis super bad, and it was really one of the only things that would knock down the cough long enough for me to sleep. So now, you know, I just have kind of, and believe me, I'm not a big drinker, so there's no alcohol concerns, but blackberry brandy, yeah, that's one of mine that if I get really congested in my throat, that and DayQuil, between the two. And I'm not talking about chugging like a quarter of a bottle down either. I'm just, you know, this whole sip and brandy.
No, and it's interesting you say that because, again, I mean, I'm not a drinker at all anymore, but you go back and when we were growing up and how normal that was, probably even more so for our own parents.
Yeah.
And the other one that I remember is, I think, and this helped out a little more when I was in college for the wrong reasons, but when my wisdom teeth were coming in and giving me a problem, you'd take whiskey and then you wouldn't swallow it like right away, but you'd let it just sit on that tooth, you know, take a swig, put it in your mouth and just let it sit there. And it just completely numbed the spot. So there's, for whatever reason, it's blackberry brandy and whatever else, it worked, and you can't deny the results, can you?
No. I was, when you were starting to talk about that story, I was thinking about the fact that back in the 70s and 80s, it was a little bit more prevalent. Now, today, I don't think I've even still bought my 30-year-old a beer or drink because it's like, you gave your kid alcohol? But back in the day, it was a little bit more prevalent. It's not like they're, you know, going out to the liquor store, loading you up and saying, all right, little Johnny, good to have a good night with your girlfriend. It's like, no.
Yeah. That's... Did you, was yours, because we also, I think it was like hot whiskey. And maybe some honey.
Hot toddies.
Hot whiskey.
Hot toddies. That's pretty much.
They were using that when I had the, you know, sore throat, cold, and congestion and stuff too. So I did not realize, okay, so that was also a cure for the common cold and for the long weekend.
I don't know, but it sure made me feel better.
How about, one thing that I still use to this day is I still use Vicks. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I if I start getting congestion, I just immerse my chest and my throat with Vicks.
It does work. That was the third component. I'm not going to lie. That's the other thing that I, you know, just to kind of cut it, I really just had a bad head congestion. I didn't have a fever. But man, was I going through the tissues like crazy. But yeah, the combination of the three I was talking about is it. And I found a new cough drop that Menards has, and they're called Honeys. I don't know if you've seen these.
No,
but they it's mentholatum and eucalyptus, and then there's honey in the center of it. Man, those things work really good for sore throats. But they last like 4 minutes.
And then it's not a brand or anything. It's just called Honeys.
You know. There's other
wrote
things.
That down.
Wrote that down. Brand new. I'd never seen it before. I was actually telling my mom about it last night on my trip to Menards that I'm going to be doing later. I'm going to be picking up more about those. All right. We should talk a little fishing, because I have not talked to anybody that's done any fishing as of yet since the ice has froze over. Let's put it that way. I did have some friends that got out right before freeze because they were wrapping things up in the fields, and they're finally able to get out much earlier than they thought. Fishing was good. I don't know. Is anybody daring? There's always those guys that, oh, there's an inch out there. I think we can make it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things that we always try to tell people is, yes, you're not wrong. The air temperatures have definitely been improving. Improving in terms of, you know, for the ice anglers, for the hard water anglers. I don't know how quick technology is on your phone, but if you're able to check your phone, this was today's Friday. So this would have been Tuesday that I'm sending you on your phone right now, west of Valley City. And Tuesday was when we just finally started getting pretty cold. And we don't advocate and we don't suggest people, even today, this is not amateur hour when you've never been ice fishing before to say, oh, well, you know what? Thanksgiving was terrible. I'm sick of all the family. I'm going to go out ice fishing. We don't suggest that whatsoever. But the truth of the matter is, when it hasn't been above 32 degrees, you're making ice. And we've had a little bit of dusting of snow here and there, but thankfully, when it's been cold, we haven't had, you know, 6 inches of snow, because when you're forming ice and you mix snow in with the ice, it makes weak ice.
Right.
And that snow covers up, you know, thin spots, even when you have ice. So we started making some pretty good ice earlier this week. And I found a gentleman just purely by accident west of Valley City. Is actually pulling into my wife's aunt's old farmstead. That's they no longer live there. Just going to take some pictures of the old farmstead, and they live on a great little fishing slough. I'm not going to tell you the GPS locations of it, but no shock, no surprise. There's a guy out there ice fishing, and he's pulling pike. He did tell, I asked him, I said, well, how's the ice? He said, about 2.5 inches, come on out. And I said, no, I'll trust you. I don't need to go out. I need to go out and find out. I believe you.
Well, he must be on his knees then, because I thought maybe he was like just breaking through the ice and grabbing the fish and walking back to shore. So he must be like Dolph on Golf.
Yep.
You remember like Tim Conway back in the days, and he'd do that little comedy bit and he'd play like a little guy, you know, and he's at the knees,
yep,
cut off.
Yep,
anyway.
Yep. So then you're right. When I look back at the picture, so yeah, he's on the ice. He's kneeling down and he's pulling looks like about a 5-pound northern.
Yeah, that's great.
Through the ice and right. And okay, what I would tell people, even if you are a veteran ice angler, take somebody else with you, have a float coat, have ice picks, even tether yourself to your pickup truck, tie a rope to the bumper of your pickup truck. If there's something that you can do safety-wise, then just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we tell people, sure, you can access ice that's 2 or 3 inches thick. We suggest 4 inches. The problem that you run into is if you've got, say you got a slough that's got 4 inches of ice, well, that's in that spot.
Right.
There might be another spot where there's 1 inch of ice. There might be another spot where there's a 1/2 inch of ice. So yes, 2 inches of ice you can access. 4 inches is what we suggest. 6 inches is even better. So if you've got 6 inches of ice, you might find a lot of spots that have 4 or 3 inches of ice. So it just really stands to reason that a reminder, especially with early ice, how varied ice conditions are, and how there's no such thing. There's no such thing at all as being too safe.
Yeah, and I would say this, that those little ponds, those little sloughs that you think, oh, those are small, you can go out there, no problem. Those are some of the most dangerous. We had one in our property growing up that actually had a spring on it, and fortunately,
yep,
I knew the area, and it used to suck cattle down. It used to do all sorts of stuff. So that piece of water never went out on it unless it was one of those winters where it was like 60 below back in the 70s, you know, and it was like bad winters are super cold, or those things called frostbite. Remember frostbite? You never really hear much about it anymore, except for kids. We'd stay out until our legs are beet red, and it's like, maybe it's time to come in. I got gangrene starting.
it only took us 4 generations to figure out that frostbite is real.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I just would not, in my older age, I like ice fishing, but I just won't do it unless I know the lake really well. And that is knowing the depths of the ice and the depth of the water is the biggest thing.
And you're speaking from experience, and that's one of the greatest teachers is experience, because you can drive by and see somebody out ice fishing on a slough and go, oh, okay, it's a small slough, it must be safe. But the springs, if you've fished there all your life, you know where the springs are at. Mm-hmm. You know where traditionally there's going to be thin ice, weak ice, where the culvert is, where the water comes through the culvert. Also, cattails absorb heat. And whether you're pheasant, some people are, you know, going to be out pheasant hunting this holiday weekend. And we'll just walk across the creek, walk across the slough. Well, those cattails absorb heat, and you're always going to find thinner ice kind of near those cattails as well. So there's so many different things that come into play. We don't want to discourage people from going ice fishing and from trying ice fishing. We'd encourage you to find somebody that's done it before and does it often and go to the same place that you've gone. Don't say, well, we've never been to this slough, let's go try this, because just like you kind of alluded to, what appears to be safe might be like, oh, there's a culvert that you didn't see. There's a spring that has never, for like you said, I remember 60 below. 60 below is cold. and I don't need to remember how cold 60 below feels either.
All right, we need to take our first break. It is a Friday afternoon. We are taping this. I'm sure we're out eating food or doing holiday shopping. We normally are in on Fridays, but again, taking a break with everybody else to enjoy the holiday here. We'll have our second segment. We're going to talk a little bit about deer hunting, and also the fish or Game and Fish Advisory Board meetings are starting soon. We'll talk about that as Great Outdoors continues in a moment.